opportunity to review minutes from our April 2nd meeting, and is there a motion to approve those?
Make a motion to approve the minutes as presented.
All in favor, indicate. And burn ban?
I'm good with leaving it off personally.
I'm fine with it staying just like it is.
No action. The first matter on the agenda, Courtney Parent, Family and Community Health Agent, update of Healthy County Wellness Program. Courtney, good morning.
Good morning. We finished up the 10K challenge the end of March, and we had a total of 43 people participate in this challenge. Last year, we only had 24 people participate in the first challenge. We had 37 people completed the challenge. That means that they walked a minimum of 6,000 steps for five days a week for 6 weeks. We had 14,944,985 total steps. And the last time I had checked, we were ranked 32 out of 171 counties. They took the site down, and I didn't get to go in and get the final update. But I know that Eastland County was a little bit ahead of us, but I think we made huge strides from where we were last year, only having 8 people complete the challenge. The sheriff's office had the majority, over half of our team. And so for our next challenge, we're looking at hopefully getting at least 2 teams, and I have a guy from the sheriff's office that's going to be the team captain over there. And our next challenge is Spring Into Motion. That's going, the registration starts today. And the challenge goes April 23rd to June 3rd. And you want to do a minimum of 6,000 steps, and you earn Springers. And a Springer is just a little stamp saying that you walk at least 6,000 steps that day. We also have 11 people participating in the Naturally Slim program. That's a lifestyle change of weight loss where they watch videos, and it's not a diet, but it's truly how you can go in and change your lifestyle and what you eat, how you eat, and then lose the weight. They've had great success with it, and I know that talking to some of the other counties that piloted it, that they've had huge numbers as far as weight loss and some of their insurance claims on it. And then also, I would like to invite everyone to the Brunch and Learn. It's going to be our first one we're doing this year. It's going to be in the sheriff's office on April 11th. We have 3 different sessions at 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, and 1 o'clock. And then I'm going to go back and hit the night shift for the jailers. And Shamiria Davis, our TAC representative, will be there. And she will be providing the program and providing the fruit trays and snacks for everyone that day. I also got to go to the risk management conference last week. Got a lot of new ideas and ways to hopefully get more people involved and keep the, we have great momentum, and I'd like to keep it going throughout the year. Y'all have any questions about the Healthy County program?
We're all just going to leap right in there, aren't we?
We do have 2 commissioners that participated, and Joel Kelton and Larry Trawick, they were on the teams. So I encourage the rest of y'all to join our teams.
Thanks for the invitation.
And I do have the invitation for y'all for the Lunch and Learn on Wednesday.
Yeah. There's no doubt we could all benefit from it. Just
it makes you conscious of how much you walk every day if you start paying attention. Whether you want to know or not. But.
I just wanted to give an update. That's all I have.
All right, ma'am. Thank you, Courtney. The next item on the agenda is Commissioner Shaw, Precinct 3, opening bids for concrete slab, erection of steel for shop building, and closed cell insulation. I will give these to you. They have been delivered to me by the county clerk, who has had possession of them since they came in.
You bid on two different bills, you can go well together and vote together, so, okay, I got you. So, all right, we got Jeff Hutchinson from over here in the Bay Area. As y'all might know, we had a fire last July and burned our old barn down. And we've got X number of dollar insurance money to try to rebuild something. All right, this is a welded-up building. Concrete slab, weld metal building together. There's the plumbing stubbed out, the plumbing, the electrical work and the insulation. And this is that closed cell insulation right here. And the building is, and slab, the engineered building. It's a price of $171,200.
How many square feet in this building?
Huh?
How many square feet?
Seventy, how many square feet, do you remember that offhand? It's a hundred.
The slab is a 75 by 90.
Yeah, 75 by 90, the building's not quite that big, we left room to cut in. Okay, the same thing on a bolt together building is $185,600. All right, let's have to see who this other one's from, it doesn't say on the outside.
Or both of those from Jeff?
Yes. U.S. Construction. Including all the same things. And this bid's $147,500. So.
And was it weld or bolt?
It doesn't really say. Well's always the cheapest, you know, as you can see by the other bid there. So, do we have to accept or what?
Well, the next item will be to vote on whether or not to accept the bid. So, yeah. This one, item 3, you're just opening bids, and item 4, put the regulars back, not give it all to you.
Yeah. We've opened them.
All right. Do you want to go ahead and move item 4 then?
So, I was hoping we'd get more bids than that, but
yeah.
We didn't.
I got one bid of my last deal.
Yeah, okay.
We'll go to item 4 then, if you want. This would be Wayne Shaw of Precinct 3. Consideration possible approval to accept a bid for concrete slab, erection of steel for shop building and closed cell insulation.
Okay, well, I make the motion that we accept the bid of U.S. Construction since there's such a discrepancy of about $20,000 or $24,000 difference in the two bids. And that bid stays within our insurance.
It does.
Yes.
That's good.
And then the others are over.
Yes. Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay. All right, all in favor? Oh, I understand. All right, that's item 4, so.
We appreciate you.
And I'll make you copies, yeah. Or give you.
Appreciate you. Everybody will be appreciated.
Need all of those too.
What's that?
That's it, just two of them.
Yeah, we figured all of them.
I'm gonna see if it's 40 degrees.
I know. I need some little guy.
That's
hard. At the moment, you actually.
information.
Go ahead.
We'll go to item five, Lori Dodge, discussion regarding first floor, of course, the staircase from the first floor to second floor in the courthouse.
Sharon. Mike. If you would, please.
I'm sorry, I'm not supposed to get this on.
Oh, okay. I bet y'all can hear me, but it doesn't work for you.
There you go.
Some of the things here, it was letters.
Yeah, well.
I think me.
I understand that too.
How you doing today?
Better, hopefully. I just want to thank y'all for giving me the opportunity to come in and say a few words to you about the stairwell, the staircase going up from the first floor to the second floor. And tell you a little bit about my experience that happened to me back on February 23rd, 2017. Are y'all aware of what happened on that day in Roy Dodge? In any of the commissioners' court?
Well, I was, somebody had an accident there or something one day, and I was there, but it was kind of a HIPAA deal. We didn't really get to hear what happened, so I didn't hear what happened for sure.
Okay, well, I'm not gonna go into all that because I don't want to take up your time, but I do want to stress to you the importance that I think something needs to be done to identify where that last step is. Because what I was doing, I had been up in Judge Ellis's courtroom, testifying for one of the kids that I was working with CASA, and all of you know about that, those kids. And after I got through, I was coming down and was holding kind of steadily with my left hand, I guess, coming down where the rail is. Okay, that rail runs out, as you well know, before you get to the bottom step. You ever been there before?
Well, are you talking about where the first landing is, or actually down at the bottom floor?
I'll show you what I'm talking about.
I'm treasure conscious.
Yes, got about treasure conscious.
Yeah, I said I'd tell you about it, yeah. Okay, here's what the whole subject matter is about today. I'll pass that around if you want to see it, Judge. Take a look at that.
Unless y'all want to go look at it.
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
I understand.
I think I have explained it.
Okay, so what I would like to see you do, and I'm not here to ask for money from anybody.
Yeah, by the way, I had to file a claim on his behalf. He refused to.
You know,
he was not, he's not in it for the money, and he didn't even want the county to pay for it, but we took care of it.
Okay, I just feel like that gentlemen, something needs to be done before someone is killed. And you don't really realize how close it was that I was nearly killed. Seriously. Whenever I finally got to the hospital, ended up out here at the Brownwood Hospital after some time, because when I first fell, and I think I'm correct on the way, one of your sheriff deputies, McCoy?
Mike McCoy.
Mike McCoy came over and offered to have me get up, and I said, wait just a second, let me lay there a minute. And of course, I don't know how many of you know any of the Dodges, but we're all kind of hard-headed and kind of self-independent. So I said, no, wait just a minute. And there was another gentleman there sitting on the bench that came to help me. But anyway, I went on ahead and got up, and he offered to call an ambulance, and I said, no, I'll make it. And I got home, and we're not going to go through all of it. I got home, but still hurting pretty bad. But what finally happened was that I got to the point that I could not even get out of bed, the pain was so bad that my wife had to help me, and then she couldn't get me in bed, and we had to call, and I ended up with, she ended up calling the ambulance and taking me over to Brownwood Hospital. And from there, my local doctor called Dr. Diarte, which is in San Angelo, which is a back specialist surgeon. And so he told him, said, get him up there, I'll take care of him. Okay, that night, that afternoon, I got up there, and then he started surgery. They have to do all these tests, even though you've had them done once, they do them 2 or 3 times, seem like. He started surgery on me a little bit after midnight. And supposedly at about 3.5 hours later, he quit. He told the family and my wife that I had to quit because Roy was in so much pain and I needed to stop because we'll have to do surgery again, or more extensive surgery. But anyway, he fused my first and second vertebrae, the third and fourth vertebrae, and done some altercation on the fifth. The next morning, 3 hours later or so, he was on the side of my bed in the hospital there at Shannon, and he said, Roy, you got to get up. I said, Doc, I can get up. And he had a nurse with him, and he said, Roy, you got to get up. So they got me up on the side of the bed, and he said, move your feet. Move your legs. Couldn't move my legs. And after about 30 minutes of his pressing me to move my legs, I moved maybe a quarter of an inch. But I couldn't walk. I could not walk. And so when he saw some movement, he told him, he said, I want the best therapist we have on our staff anywhere on this San in the Shannon program. And I was in the hospital and he told him, he said, I want to walk, I'll see him walk when he leaves here. I was in the hospital there a week, therapy every day. From there, I went to the Shannon, it's over St. John's. They have the therapy center over there. And I was there for 5 weeks, them trying to get me to walk. After about 4 weeks, they got me where I could walk. Finally came home and had home care doing the same therapy for 3 more weeks. Finally got where I could walk some. But as of today, I am still under doctor's care. I have to use this cane to get around with. And I just want to ask you, if there's any way that this commissioner's court could consider getting something done there on that step that doesn't have anything on it. I sat out there a while ago and watched the people go up the stairs. One guy fell and broke his camera, or his whatever he had. I guess it's his camera. And I guess 90% of them grabbed for that first thing to start up that. We need to do something about that. And I would beg you, I think if any one of you people, and I'm not asking for sympathy, but if any of you had gone through what I had to do and what I've gone through and what I don't know what my life will end up doing, you would do everything you could to see and support Ray West to try to get something done. That's all I'm asking of you.
Let me bring y'all up to date on what I have done. Number one, anything we do will have to be approved by the Historical Commission. I have checked into that. I kind of knew the answer anyway. Number two, we have, myself and Carl, looked at the construction of the rail baluster, if you will. And it is impossible to, my first thought was to extend the baluster and to move the post to the first, step. Well, when we had those steps redone with the
marble.
New marble, what do you call them? There's risers and there's whatever those things are called, the steps. That post wasn't moved. It was tiled around, or the step was carved around it, because it is cast iron. The old bolts have been painted over their cast iron. It's impossible to move the existing newel post. And because you can't move that, the possibility of extending it down to the first step is out. And besides which, the curve at the top of the stairs begins at the newel post that is on the second flight and curves around, that's off. The only solution that I could come up with is to put a second newel post at a lower height, just to give somebody the mental impression that there is another step. Because as Mr. Dodd said, you get to the last, to the newel post, and you think this is the end of the steps, and it's not. There's one more step. And because the floor is so close in color to the step, you just don't notice it.
No, I just thought I was stepping out on the floor. And when I hit that second, whenever I hit that step, that number 13 shoe, and it just flipped me over, and it hit right back here, and I'm still having pain running down my leg. No, it's...
Well, you take a different stride when you think you're going to hit a flat spot in front of you, and when there's nothing below you, your knee is already flexed, and so you do nothing but collapse on that knee.
That's what I did.
And when you reach the point you have a bifocal trifocals, it's really you don't really get a good focus unless you're looking down at what's happening at your feet. That was when I first got bifocals. That's when I started.
That may be true.
I have contacted two, not just builders, but builders who are specialists in building things from steel. And one of them is Jamie's husband, and the other one is, I can't remember his last name, his first name, Brock. He's one of my wife's clients, and he does steel work. He built a wrought iron fence for my deck, for example. I hadn't heard back from him. I have to jack him up, but that's all I know to do, to contact him and find out an estimate. If that estimate's going to exceed $50,000, we have to bid it. I don't think we'll have to bid it. So what will happen is when I get a proposal from these two people, I'll bring it to the court. There will be no bid process, I'm sure, and we'll take the one that we feel is best, and we will add a second newel post adjacent to the first one. And again, at the same height, but so it'll be that much lower than the first newel post. That way people will know that there's another step. That's the only solution that I know of.
Well, you know,
it'll go on this step. Well, I think it needs to go on the step, but at a lower level. That's the problem, is back on this one. It won't be a big deal. We will have to invade the marble step, but I mean, there are grills for that.
But anyway, I just wanted to let y'all know that I'm not the type of guy that's going to run in and try to get to the court. I grew up in Brown County, went off teaching school for 50 years, so, but my home is Brown County, and I support Brown County and everything that comes in, and I never even thought about it, and Judge West will tell you that my first comment to him was, I'm not here to try to take advantage of anybody or get any money from anybody. I just want it fixed.
Well, has the Texas Association of County treated you fairly?
Yes, sir. They have. My wife paid about $1,300 worth of bills real quick, because she's one that pays the bills just when it comes in. And I talked to Judge West and Susan, remember her last name, down in Austin. But she told me, said, you know, just send stuff to her that the insurance company doesn't cover. Now, we have great insurance, and thank the Lord for that. But Judge, I guess we've been out probably $400 or $500 out of our own pocket, but we don't mind that. That's okay. The question you asked me is yes, they've been very fair to us, and I don't have any complaints. But if at all possible, gentlemen and Judge West, I appreciate y'all's time this morning. Thank you very much for listening to me. And I've got another doctor's appointment this Thursday with Dr. DeArte over in San Angelo. Somebody's got to find the solution to what's happening to me. I've taken up too much time, but they're shifting me from the back doctors to the hip, and now the hip doctor says it's back to the, you know, it's back in the hands of the back doctors, and I don't know what's going to come, but somebody's going to fix it. And by the way, I think the timeline on getting stuff to, you know, if I'm right, that's the way I understood it, Susan to tell me that I had to have everything in by the end of the year, which was February. So if there's any other expenses, I guess that I'll have to accept it. I don't know what the ruling is on that, but
I don't know about that. If there's expense and it's because of the injury, I don't know why TAC wouldn't pay it.
Well, she was very nice too, very helpful. So everybody that's been associated with the county, whether it be in Austin or here, has been very helpful and supportive. And again, do everything you can to get it fixed for us.
Well, we hope you have a total recovery.
Oh, I do too. And Joel, appreciate all of y'all, Larry, Wayne, Gary. Thank y'all for letting me come and talk.
Absolutely.
Yeah, thanks, Judge.
Thank you, Lord.
Okay,
I'll see that they don't hold Chuck being your brother against you.
Well,
if Bill died, I know Bill died.
Well, there was nine of us in the family, and all five of us were in the school business. So Marlon, Winford, Bobby, y'all know most of them, I imagine. So anyway, thank y'all for the time.
Okay. All right, the next matter on the agenda, Cassandra Ebbett, consideration of possible approval of scan documents in the county clerk's office. And gentlemen, I must excuse myself. I have court scheduled, and I'll be back as I can. I'll be back to approve the auditor's report anyway.
My name is Cassandra Ebbett. I own Comanche County Abstract, and I'm also an attorney. What I'm here for today is to address a resolution that was passed by the Commissioner's Court on March the 26th, which disallows the use of scanners in the county clerk's office, except for handheld scanners that are attached to a laptop. I need to scan approximately 600 volumes of public records that are maintained by the county clerk's office. And basically, the county clerk is refusing to allow us to do that with a sheet feed scanner. Several months ago, I had met with the county clerk to discuss what I had needed to do. My takeaway from the meeting was that as long as we weren't going to be disruptive to the office or take up too much space, that I didn't think it would be an issue. We actually did start scanning. What we did was we went to the very, very back of the clerk's office. I'm sure you are familiar with it, all the way into the back. There was a very small two-drawer cabinet back there. It's probably smaller. It is smaller than this desk. It had carpet tiles stacked up on it, and so clearly it wasn't being utilized for anything else. So we removed the carpet tiles, and we made a space available there that would hold our scanner and that would hold our laptop, and that was the space that we operated in. It was very minimal. We were able to scan about 100 volumes in about 4 working days, and so the scanning process actually is pretty efficient whenever we're able to use our sheet bed scanner. During the 4 days that we were there, we weren't disruptive to the county clerk's office. No one complained that we were there, and as a matter of fact, no one was really in the area that we were in other than the county clerk and her staff, so I don't think that we were creating a nuisance or anything of that nature. And the equipment that we were using wasn't destroying the records or anything of that nature. On March the 26th, that was the last day that we were actually able to scan records in the county clerk's office. And it's my understanding that was also the day that the commissioners met and passed the resolution preventing us from using our scanner. I was unaware that the resolution had been passed until I had requested a copy of the clerk's reasonable rules for scanning documents. And then it's actually the resolution is stated verbatim on there. Prior to me obtaining a copy of the rules from the clerk, no one had given me a reason why we were not going to be allowed to use our sheet bed scanner. And in the resolution, it looks like there's actually 2 reasons for that. The first one is going to be the availability of digitized records that currently exist, and then the second one is going to be the space constraints. So the first thing I want to address is the availability of records that are currently digital. What we are scanning starts in the early 70s and goes backwards, and the clerk does not currently have those records in digital format. The records that she does have, they start from the early 1970s and they go forward. If she had the records that we need already digitized, we would just be looking at purchasing those from the county clerk as opposed to going in and scanning them. And as a matter of fact, we intend to purchase all of the records that the clerk does have digitized, which would be from the 1970s forward. So I don't think that, well, basically the records that we need, that's really not an option because they're not available in digital format from the clerk's office. As far as the space constraints go, what I provided you with is copies of the statutes, a copy of the rules that I was provided, and then the case law that addresses this issue. So there are several statutes that address this matter that are very clear that the public and the citizens have a right to come in and copy public documents. So any person is entitled to read and copy all the public record documents under the reasonable rules of the court. That's the statutes are clear on that, and clearly that begs the question of, well, what are reasonable rules? This is addressed in a couple of cases. I provided you a copy of both of those. One of them is Permian Report v. Lacey. That's going to be the most current case that addresses what are reasonable rules of the county clerk. So the court in that case actually set aside some rules that a county clerk had put in place and then approved some. The reason I included this case is, number one, it's the most current, and number two, it doesn't have anything in there about restricting what type of equipment can be used to make the copies. It really just stands for the right that the public has full and free access to the records, and included within that right is a right to copy. The other case, which is a little bit more on point here, is Tobin v. Nags. It's not as a current case as the Permian Report case, but I'm going to read you an excerpt out of the case. It's a purely public office, open alike at all times and upon the same terms for all members of the public, subject to such reasonable rules and regulations as may be imposed in good faith by the clerk. So I think that any rules that are put in place, not only do they have to be reasonable, but they also have to be done in good faith. Additionally, this case goes on to kind of lay out the framework for what reasonable rules are that the county clerk can impose. The first one being that it does not injure the records. It doesn't increase the fire hazard, makes very little noise, isn't a nuisance, doesn't inconvenience or disrupt the clerk's office. These are the basis for creating the reasonable rules. I think it's pretty much just common sense. Another thing that this case stands for, and it recites this, I've highlighted in the case that I've provided you, that the statute at that time did not purport to restrict any citizens from the use of a particular method or device whenever they were making copies. Further, there's a reference guide for the county clerk that's distributed to all the county clerks in the state of Texas, and it discusses in there that the county clerks are required to provide us a reasonable space in order to make copies. It goes on to state that a reasonable space would be like a 2-foot by 3-foot space or a 3-foot by 3-foot space. Now, another thing I want to address is the practicality of using a handheld scanner in scanning the volume of documents that we are needing, and it's really just not practical. We still need to scan approximately 500 volumes, and if we were to use a hand scanner, we might get one volume done per day. And lots of times it creates distorted images, so we would be having to go back and probably rescan a lot of what we do. We would be looking at this taking a couple of years for us to complete. Whereas if we were able to continue to use the sheet feed scanner that we were using, we would be done in approximately 4 to 5 weeks. And like I said, we're only scanning documents that the county clerk doesn't already have in a digital format. We'll be purchasing from the clerk the other documents that she does have. The scanner that we have, it's 15 inches by 17 and a half inches at its base. It's really not very big. We do have a laptop that we hook up that we use in connection with that. It's 15 by 10. And to save space, our laptop will actually sit on top of the scanner so that it takes up less space if that was necessary. And further, I mentioned this earlier, but when we were in there, we weren't disturbing anyone. We weren't creating a nuisance. The scanner itself is not loud. And the part of the clerk's office that we were utilizing, no one is really back there. Now, as far as whether or not the rules that are being imposed are reasonable and are done in good faith, I think I've made it clear that using the handheld scanner, I don't think that's a reasonable solution. And I haven't really gotten a good reason other than there's not enough space in the county clerk's office, and that's why we would be forced to use that type of scanner. But I think that the case law makes it clear that the clerk is required to provide us with a space, and I don't think has the right to restrict what kind of equipment that we use. I have discussed this with everyone that I know to discuss this with to try to reach a resolution. I don't want to file a lawsuit. That is the last thing that I want to do because it just is going to take a lot of time. I'm not here to cause any trouble. I don't want to cost the county any money in filing a lawsuit. And so hopefully today, I want to reach an amicable resolution to this so that we can continue with our scanning and kind of get out everybody's hair and go on our way. We would be willing to do basically anything within reason to accommodate. If we need to bring in our own table, we're happy to do that. If we were going to be inconveniencing another researcher or the clerk or her staff, we would be happy to accommodate them and work around that also. But like I said, the only other remedy that I have once I leave here today is to file a lawsuit, and I genuinely mean that. That is the last thing that I want to do. So what I'm asking from you guys is to permit us to have allow us a space in the county clerk's office where we can set our scanner up.
I think the number one thing, first of all, is preservation of the records, and there's the scanner. Now, you can tell us again. Mm-hmm. So your scanner is actually running the paper through there?
Yes.
Because there's a possible there you could damage some document there. There's some stuff you haven't gotten into that's even more sensitive than that. There's some stuff, if you're going how far back you're going, there's some very old, very sensitive papers that may not be very conducive to run through a scanner. So I'll start with that.
Okay, if we reach that point, I think that the documents that we are scanning right now, that's not an issue. The documents are in good shape. We have state-of-the-art equipment, basically. We bought a scanner that's specifically for this job. And we have already scanned almost 100 volumes, and we did no damage to any of the documents. I own an abstract office,
so. Did you verify that, or did she verify that? I mean, who verified that? But nothing was damaged. Nothing ever jammed. I mean,
it was not verified for me.
Not verified for you. I mean, you're saying nothing. So we don't know if anything got in there, got wrinkled up, or what.
Well, it's going to be, and also it's going to be hard to scan when you can no longer open the books.
I'm representing to you that none of the documents were damaged. None of them got crinkled up. There was nothing like that happened. if she's making it clear now that she wants to take a position that we're not able to open the books, obviously if we can't open the books, we're not able to use our scanner. Like I said, I really just want to reach a resolution to this because I think that the case law and the statutes are clear that we're allowed to do this. And I'm trying to, I just want to get this fixed without having to file a lawsuit.
What's the purpose of scanning? Why are you scanning?
Sure, we are wanting to do business, we're wanting to do title work in Brown County.
So it's something to promote your business? It's,
It's for business purpose, absolutely.
It's for business purposes, yes. For Comanche title, abstract title company, whatever.
Yeah, it will, this will be something separate, but, yeah, it's title work, it's for title work.
Right.
I don't know, I've heard two different sides, I mean, I've heard that they, I mean, we're not the ones that have these rules, I'm pretty sure. The logical have the same rules, I'm not sure the logical, but I know that her main thing is preservation of the records. A lot of people, nobody gets to touch them by themselves anyway, they have to have a clerk built there.
Right, and in preparation of this hearing, and in preparation of the issues that have come up, I have actually contacted a number of different clerk's offices. And essentially, they are all telling me the same thing, that I am afforded, the clerk has to afford me a space in her office and has to allow us to set up whatever equipment we want to make a copy.
Excuse me, you said whatever equipment?
Okay, well, within reason.
You're gonna have to, I don't think that you're able to set up whatever equipment that you want to.
Yes, I said that out.
I think the clerk can limit, to limit you or anyone else as to the equipment they can set up in her office.
I think the clerk can limit me with space, but I think the case that I provided you makes it really clear that they can't limit the equipment that I use. That's exactly what that case stands for, is that a clerk could try to restrict the type of equipment that was going to be used to make the copy, and the court came in and said, no, that's not allowed by the statutes.
Well, the clerk is responsible for those records, and if she feels, and this is my personal opinion, if she feels that's what's needed to be the full integrity of the records, then I'm not gonna usurp that myself this time.
I'm sure not capable of telling you what equipment's right or what's wrong, but like I said, she's responsible for all our records, so.
And the further back they go, the more sensitive they are, I'm sure that's true.
And if that being the concern is that the further we go back of the records, I mean, that can be addressed at that time. The records that we are scanning, though, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that those records were actually redone. Aren't they new? Weren't they recopied and new books made?
I don't know what records you're doing.
In the 400s, or the volumes in the 400s?
I'm not familiar, because when you came in, I was gone.
So I've looked at the records, and I've talked to a couple of different people, and those records had actually been scanned in, and they were redone so that they were front and back, and so that the volumes are actually a lot smaller than the other ones. So I don't think that there's an issue there of maintaining the integrity of the documents themselves. Now, when we get back into some of the older deeds, I can completely understand that. And at that point, maybe we would need to take a different approach to maintain the integrity of the records, as opposed to using a sheet bed scanner. And I understand this is a touchy situation. I'm trying to exhaust every effort that I can before I file a lawsuit, because I'm entitled to the records, that's where I'm going with this, and if I thought coming here might be a way to get this resolved without me having to do that.
Ma'am, you are entitled to the records. I do not deny that. You can stay all day long, every day. It's the equipment that you're wanting to bring in that is the integrity, and you're also trying to set up between two public terminals. And I know you said no one was at those public terminals when you were there, but I promise you they do get used. You were using the cabinet to put the book on, and you were walking back and forth in front of the public terminals. And yes, you can look at the records all day long. I'm not denying you that.
And I haven't accused you of denying us to allow us access to the records. The only thing I'm pointing out is we're entitled to copy the records.
You sure can.
And that is the manner in which we're being denied the right.
But you cannot open the books. And I talked with Texas Association of Counties, and they say they don't know of any counties that let you open the books. And I'm sure there are a few, but most counties don't, because we find them upside down, backwards, forwards. We find them, some are missing totally, and that is, that's because the public doesn't care about them like I do.
I understand, and if anyone appreciates the integrity of the records as much as you do, it's me. As a matter of fact, we cleaned up several of the volumes whenever we were scanning them because the pages...
Because they were upside down, yeah.
Because the pages were out of order.
But I can't police that.
So we actually were cleaning them up as we went.
Well, I can't police that every day. That's why I've got to stop letting people open the books. It's just getting worse and worse and worse.
I understand, and I'm not asking for special treatment. All I'm asking for is what we're entitled to underneath the law.
And you are entitled to look at them, but I have to treat everyone the same. And I have another man that would like to scan too, and it's, you're not the only one that wants to scan.
I understand.
Well, personally, I think at this point, the rules that the county clerk has adopted, we will have to uphold that for now. Because the records are in her care, or care of the county clerk, they're responsible for them. And the county clerk is responsible for setting up the rules or provisions or whatever to allow people to come in and look at or scan or whatever the documents. So that's just me. I think we'd have to let her rules stand for a moment.
Maybe you can work with her again. Maybe you have a better place to do that, something in there. But
I would be happy to entertain a meeting with you if you would like to try to discuss this.
You've threatened lawsuits, so I don't believe so.
Yeah, you did start that one.
I mean, I do feel like we're entitled to this underneath, and I wanted you to understand while I was here. That's not what I want to do, because it's going to cost time and it's going to cost money. That's not my intent. My intent is to just get the records that the clerk doesn't already have digitized and move on.
And I am working on getting those digitized. I've got a quote out now to go back 10 more years. I am working on that.
And
as money provides.
And they'll be scanning the records the same way we are, right?
They're a board company that does this for a living.
The other thing that...
They will be bonded. You're not bonded.
As a matter of fact, the Permian case that I just gave you specifically says that I'm not required to be bonded.
That's right. But when we have those records scanned by a company that's coming in, they will be bonded. They will be responsible for anything that's torn up or damaged or misplaced or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And we will be paying them to do that. And for that reason, that would protect us and the clerk for the preservation of those documents. And so, you know, if an individual comes in and misplaces, sometimes even some of those records have disappeared. I'm not saying you would, but they have in the past. Pages have gone missing out of those books. I don't know if you found any of those that were missing or not, but some of them have been. But, you know, they would be doing the same thing, but they would be under contract to Brown County to be doing.
Sure, and I understand. What the case law states, though, is that I have a right to copy, and the court specifically addressed the issue of whether, because there was a county clerk that was requiring them to go and get a bond, and the court struck that down and specifically said you have a right to copy and you don't have to be.
They do not have a right to bond. I understand that, and I have as many AG opinions as you do on the subject where they are not allowed in there. So, you know, there's both sides to each story, and I understand that.
And like I said, I'm not asking for any special treatment. I literally am just asking what we're afforded underneath the law.
But you are asking for special treatment because no one is allowed to do what you're asking for. And you are allowed under the law to come copy all day. So you really are asking for special treatment. Because you want to work something out when I won't let this man do any different. I have to treat everybody the same.
Does anyone like a motion on that?
I make a motion to let the ruling stand as what we passed the resolution the other day.
Well, I think then that's basically, that means that's the same thing as not doing anything, is what that does.
Yeah.
because they're asking, the motion is possible approval to scan the documents, they'll be changing what we already have, so if we take no action, we're not taking the change.
No action.
So, does anybody want to take it, then?
Nope.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you for your time.
All right, thank you. Item six, take no action. Item seven, make the Kathy Jail Administrator consideration of possible approval for the annual maintenance agreement with Morpho Trust and Jail's live scan fingerprint equipment. Did I say all that right? Morpho? That's pronounced, okay.
I think I made enough copies, but it's the one we do every year.
We did a new one 2 years ago.
It's annual.
Last year, in the last year, this is.
It's annual.
This is just our annual maintenance agreement with Morpho Trust. It covers our live scan, our fingerprint system, the reports, the arrest to DPS, the software, the updates, and then the maintenance if a part goes out or anything breaks down on it. And the total is $3,703.
And that's coming out, and you already got that budgeted in?
It always comes out of my supplies.
Your supplies. Is there a motion to approve the maintenance agreement?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
We got a second. All right, all in favor?
Can you give me a copy, Becky?
Here, take this one.
And I'll get you a sign.
We just approved that agreement.
Yes, and I'll just get you a sign when once I go back and sign it. Thank you.
He's putting in meters, and he was just wanting to let you know.
Okay.
Okay, he just wanted to address this here, and then come in. All right, we're going to move to Michael Murray. Consider possible approval of replacement employee.
You already, just voted to approve the hiring and salary, and so I'm just gonna bring to you the official sheet. We did conduct interviews, interviewed a number of different folks. We ended up, hiring Kirsten Steele, who's a Texas Tech graduate with a psychology degree. She's gonna come in starting next Monday, and so I got you.
What's gonna be her function?
She's going to be the victim assistance coordinator and the discovery technician. So she has a background in computers. She's got 5 years in a law firm. She also has experience with our software that we use. So that's a bonus.
So this is going to be, this is a replacement employee, so what's your salary going to come? I mean, be the same? Or?
Yes, this will be the same.
Who's she replaced?
Shana Fuller.
Okay, we don't have a salary here. Don't give me there, yes.
Which one is she?
I move we approve the employee change in district attorney's office.
We need to take a salary for 26.
Salary of $26,239.25 per annum.
All in favor? There, we got that 4-0.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Victim assistance coordinator, discovery technician.
Moving on, I was doing everything wasn't there. Is there possible approval of employee change?
Yes. I would like to hire, actually, he's already working, he started last Monday. His name is David Bechtel. He was one of the managers at Kroger. He was the lead bookkeeper, and he was the front-end supervisor at Kroger's. He had 5 years' experience as the lead bookkeeper, and he kept track of all the money and the bills. He has computer degrees, management classes, accounting, and payroll.
I get some kind of soap, excuse me.
He did payroll for two.
He had some classes, he did not actually do payroll for Kroger, they had, who did it, it might have been out of town. But since he's been with me, as last Monday, we've already had him receipting and writing up the deposit books, and he created that monthly report, he did that.
Is that the date of the approval, by the way?
Uh-huh. So I'm very pleased, he's done this in 1 week with minimal training. So I would like to start him as administrative assistant at $25,000, and I do have that money in my budget.
I'll make a motion to approve that.
Is he gonna be a deputy or anything?
Administrative assistant, replacing a clerk, bring out on Davis.
So we have a motion and a second, so all in favor?
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Now we have a public participation.
Oh, his name is David.
Form filled out by Ken Harris.
D-E-C-K.
Step forward, please. And present to us what it is you want.
You probably know him if you went to Kroger's, he's a real nice.
Commissioner, thank you for allowing me to speak for a few minutes. What I just wanted to make you aware of is Encore acquired Sherry Lamb in most of the area. Most of the area that we would be doing this in is in Commissioner Worthy's and Traywick's area, which would be the south part of Brown County. We'll be changing the meters out to the automated meters. We have a company called Texas Meter Devices that will be doing this for us. They will be in marked vehicles, they will have badges, they will have uniforms. But this process will start about the middle to the latter part of April. It should take us somewhere between 7, 8, 9 weeks to get this accomplished. I tell you this just to let you know that it's in your areas. I won't be talking to the judge about this, but he wanted it to be on the record. I will be talking to the sheriff so that they know that we're going to be in the area. So I just wanted you to know.
Now, about who?
Sherry Lamb.
I'm not familiar with that. So
there's about 6,900 meters that goes from part of Tom Green all the way back past Sand City.
Heard of that one at all.
McCullough.
It used to be the old McCullough County Co-op. So just wanted you to be FYI.
I've had a little dealing with Sherry Lamb, and I'm glad you're taking the Encore is taking it over.
Thank you.
That's it. Are there any other reports?
Thank you.
I'm good.
Anybody else have a report or two reports? Now we have the treasurer's report. We got to approve the treasurer's report.
Sure.
Get it right here, yeah. And stack it up. Here it is. Okay. Anything spectacular here we need to talk about?
No. We're doing pretty well this time. Almost, when you say, Josie, most of our money from BCAD has come in. We're just getting a little bit trickling now. The majority came in December and January, February. But we're looking good so far.
So we've got all of our money in our precinct?
The one that TAC, the extra that TAC gave you? Yeah, y'all gotten, that's over.
Are y'all sending a page for
Anne's employee? Oh, I've got it sitting here on my desk. I'm sorry. Somebody sat on it.
I move we approve the treasurer's and auditor's report for the month ending March. What was it? Third week?
This is March 2018.
Oh, it says March. She didn't change it?
March ending March 31st, 2018.
Yeah, that's
funny. That was a motion.
Yes,
second. We got a second. All in favor? We got you 4-0 on that one. Looks like.
Oh, bills. We have bills.
Here come the bills. Do we need to sign anything on that, treasurer auditor report?
There's the affidavit.
I haven't seen yet. Oh, no. Well, Ray run off with it.
Yeah. Oh, he took it?
Yeah.
He said he'd be back.
He took it, too.
He said he'd be here how to do that. He said he'd be here how to do that, though.
You might want to go get it, Dan. He may be in his office.
I'm gonna go run, see if he's got it.
Okay. Well, he said he'd be back in time for that, but he's looking safe. Wish he'd quit for it. See, the new shelving got paid for in the DA's office.
Yep.
Precinct two. $46, that's a good month for me, good spending, huh? Weekend. I've looked.
I make motion to approve the bills.
Second.
Ready, all in favor? Ready, another 4-0 for you. And we need to wait and sign it. Well, we can go ahead and put it in the meeting seat.
He can sign it.
Okay, the 16th.
Yep.
Is that right? The 16th.
Yes.
Is that to be a recess, adjournment? What is this?
Today is recess.
Yeah, recess. Is there a motion for recess until the 16th or 9 a.m.?
I'm voting for recess on the 16th of April.
Good.
All in favor? All in favor? Don't run off, though. I got two papers to sign.